Please open your Bibles at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and then also we will read from Romans chapter 2. If you would please stand as God speaks to us from his word. Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 10. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. The Delium and the onyx stone are there. And the name of the second river is Gihon. It flows around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Tigris. It flows east of Syria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. And then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day of that you eat from it, you shall surely die." And then also turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, we will start reading at verse 11. "For there is no partiality with God, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus." So far our scripture reading. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anglican order for the administration of the Lord's Supper begins with these words: "Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid." Very powerful expression, and it is very helpful, the Lord's Supper, which we will celebrate in the second service today, if this is used correctly. And this statement reminds us that in a world ordered by an omniscient God, there will be a final judgment where there will be no secrets. We may have secrets here. We are hiding many things from the people around us, but there will be no secrets on the day when all secrets will be brought to light before God. And so as we start looking at these two texts, let me ask you, how will you appear before God on the day of judgment? That's one thing we know that will happen. we all will appear before his judgment seat. How will you appear before him? Because you know that even your thoughts in the most deepest dark secrets that you have that no one knows will be revealed. How will you stand before God as all these secrets are being revealed? What I would like today to do today is, as I was preaching through Genesis 1 and we're busy with Genesis 2, is I want to take a step back and have a bird's eye view of the passages that we are going to look at in the next few weeks. And so, before we go to Genesis 2, let us just quickly look at Romans chapter 2. Verse 16 is the verse that I want to focus on here, but it's a difficult verse to translate. I believe verse 16 should be linked with the main verbs of the entire little paragraph. And if you look at the paragraph, you will see that God's righteous judgment, it says, will be revealed in verse 5. And then in verse 12, all who sin under the law will be judged. And while those who obey the law will be declared righteous in verse 13. And now verse 16 speaks on this all when it says all this is to take place to become clear on that day when. And look there at verse 16. On that day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Many good and solid commentators that I respect confirm this by saying that this is a case of abbreviated expression. The meaning of verse 16 then is that on judgment day, all this, in other words, the men's thoughts, the men's words, their actions, their motivations, God's evaluations, God's judgments will all become clear on that day. No questions will be there anymore. It will be clear. It's on that day that God will not only judge the open deeds that we have committed that everybody know, but also the secret deeds and the thoughts that no one knows about. Even the deepest secrets that may have been just a short thought that you never shared with anybody else will be revealed. And it will come into the open. Now the rest of Scripture, it's not just an isolated statement here. The rest of Scripture speaks of this kind of transparency also. And you can turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Look there at verse 1. Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all. Even before I speak it. He says, Lord, you know it. You are intimately knowledgeable of all my ways, my words, my actions, my lack of actions, my thoughts. Now also look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." God knows it all. See, the Bible makes it clear, even those thoughts you think, when maybe someone makes you very mad, the thoughts that you would never share with anybody else because they are too dark, they're too evil, or maybe even too harsh, those are known by God, and they would be laid bare. God knows every little secret. He knows every letter of every thought that comes upon your mind. Now, keep in mind that earlier in Romans in chapter 1 and verses 18, 19, and 20, it said that unregenerate people suppress the knowledge of God. They know that knowledge, but they push it down, they suppress it. And this is the one reason why the unregenerated person is suppressing that knowledge. They do not want to be reminded of it. They don't want to remember it. If God knows everything, as he must, if he is God, then he knows us not as we like to portray ourselves to others, but he knows the real you. He knows the inside. He knows the secrets. None of us can stand the thought of such a perfect and penetrating knowledge. None of us can stand that. Part of the nature of man is that we want to observe, but we do not want to be observed. We do not want people to observe us. It's very part of our sinful nature. We want to be in control of all the circumstances around us. For instance, a person would feel quite comfortable peeking through a little gap in a window at what the people are doing inside the room until he knows somebody else is looking at him doing it. Right? Then immediately he would walk away, and his shame and his fear and his guilt and embarrassment would take control of him. Because then he's not in control of the situation anymore. We want to observe, but we do not want to be observed. Just see how quickly somebody becomes really uncomfortable when you start staring at him, or when somebody is staring at you, right? What is he looking at? What's wrong? What did I do? We do not want to be observed. And that's the thing that makes the unregenerate so uncomfortable about God. They suppress that knowledge because they know God knows it all. He sees it all. He knows even not what I'm doing behind my closed doors, but he knows what I'm thinking. He knows my thoughts. So he wants to suppress that thought, that truth. And therefore, they often end up to the point where they say, but there is no God. If I can convince myself there is no God, there's nobody observing me. So his solution then is to become an atheist. The This all is addressed in Genesis 2 and 3. In Genesis 2, in verses 16 and 17, Adam was commanded not to eat of one specific tree. They was allowed to eat everything in the garden, but not that one tree. And then in verse 25 in Genesis 2, we read, "And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed." Eve was created to be Adam's helpmate. And they were living in the garden naked. There was no shame. There was no need for clothes because they didn't have any shame. There was no reason to have shame because they were guiltless. Because it's guilt that brings shame. Now in the next chapter, we see Adam and Eve stand there before the living God in the Garden of Eden shortly after they fell into sin, after they ate of that tree. And now they had leaves on their body to cover their nakedness. Only after Adam and Eve ate of that fruit which they were forbidden to eat, they became aware of their nakedness. Before that, they didn't even notice it. Why were they unashamed before the fall? Well, this shame was all in their mind. Nakedness has to do with exposure. Not only external, but also physical exposure, and even more importantly, their internal exposure. They were not ashamed of their nakedness. They were not ashamed of living in the garden naked before the fall, because they had nothing to be ashamed of. There was nothing to be ashamed of. Before they sinned, their relationship with God was intimate. They had a close and an utter open relationship with God. They knew God knew everything, and there was nothing to be ashamed of what God knew. They delighted to see God every time that He was in the garden with them, and they conversed with Him. They spoke with Him, and in the next passage we will, Lord willing, do again Genesis 2 and focus on 16 and 17. But God commanded them not to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know Adam and Eve fell before that temptation of Satan. They ate, accused each other, and eventually accused God that they did this terrible sin of rebellion. And so we cannot have that close, open relationship with God and continued fellowship when we are in sin. It's like Adam and Eve. We want to hide from God. We want to stay away from Him. Some flee to atheism, as I said. Some flee to materialism, but they find their God in all kinds of other things. And we often see how when people fall into sin and they continue to sin, they stop reading their Bibles, and very often they stop coming to church. So they do not be want to exposed before God. It was John Wesley who said, "The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible." The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. This is because the God who confronts us in the Bible is the holy God before whom all hearts are open. The unrighteous cannot stand their nakedness before a holy God in heaven, because we're ashamed. We also see in the story of Adam and Eve before sin, they were completely open to themselves. They were unashamed to each other. They had nothing to be ashamed of because they did not do any harm to each other. They did not sin. They could be completely themselves before each other. Now, in some good, intimate relationships, we get close to that. But still often, there is part of ourselves that we want to keep hidden to everybody around us. We see that even with spouses and very close friends. There's a certain part of the inner me that you just don't want anybody else to know. You're just too ashamed. Why? Well, we hide ourselves because we're ashamed of the sin in our lives. What happened when God came into the garden? We know the rest of the story, that Adam and Eve was hiding, or at least they were trying to hide, knowing that God knows everything. How do you hide from Him? Actually, they had already tried to hide first from themselves and from each other, and they did it by trying to make clothing out of fig leaves. People sometimes make this light remark that the oldest profession in the world is prostitution, but they're wrong. We see here the oldest profession is the clothing industry. It was a horrific effort. It was terrible. But they tried. They made themselves clothes. They found that exposure just intolerable. And they tried to cover up. And first they used leaves. And later when God appeared and questioned them, they used avoidance and they tried to put the blame on God and say, God, it's this wife you gave me. So the reaction of man was to perform good works. They were guilty. They were ashamed. Now they wanted to do good works. They wanted to recover with God by look at us, we have made clothes. This was the way of saying to God, we're all right. We're covering up. We're fine. Just look at us. Look at these beautiful leaves. We're not sinners. We're good people. See, we even covered our nakedness. Isn't that how our society is? We do things to impress, to maybe impress God, but impress other people and try to cover up how good people we are. We even, some would say, well, we're all basically good. In some way, our good works are cover-ups, but they're useless like fig leaves before God. The masks that we wear and the fronts that we put up to people can maybe deceive people, but they appear like fig leaves before our Almighty God. Because He's an all-knowing God. He knows it all. And so we know that the fig leaves didn't mean anything to cover up before God. And so it will be in our judgment. We commit our sins in secret. We present a false and a holy face to public. Some even declare that God doesn't exist. If He doesn't exist, I feel better. He doesn't know. But, and some, as I said, say they're atheists. There is no God. But we think we are safe, but God knows. One day, He will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, we see here. Let us get to the good part of this big overview of these passages. Now, when God confronted them with their sin, He exposed their sin, and His promise came true. Remember, He said, Once you disobey, once you do not obey me, you will die. Spiritually, physically, their bodies started also to deteriorate so that they would die. And then listen to this. Although they stood before God completely naked, God looked through those leaves. He knew what was behind the leaves. He knew their deeds. Although they stood naked before him, he is the one that clothed them. He is the one that makes them clothing. It's an incredible point. It was with the skin of a substitute that they were clothed. Look here in Genesis chapter 3 at verse 21. Genesis 3:21. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. God showed them, get rid of those leaves. This is ridiculous. Let me make you proper clothing. We can only guess that what God used here was lambskin. It was lambskin to clothe them. And while Adam and Eve were under the guilt of their sins, God slaughtered an animal that had nothing to do with this, who had no guilt, and he slaughtered these animals to cover them. The innocent had to die to cover up the guilty. This incident points to Christ, as he is the only sufficient atonement for our sins. He's the only one that can take away our guilt. This picture we see in Genesis is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Lamb who would be slaughtered for the guilty. Jesus is pictured as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of God's people. Think for a moment what this must have meant to Adam and Eve. The first thought that they must have had when they saw this beautiful lamb slaughtered, full of blood, blood flowing. First time they ever saw blood. Saw the blood lying here in front of them. They must have thought, so this is the terrible thing called death. Never saw death before. They must have seen this scene, and they must have been in horror. God told them, you will die if you eat of this tree. And now suddenly they understood the terrible thing of death. What is death? That could have been one reason they didn't take God very seriously. It was because they never witnessed death before. No excuse. They should have obeyed God and just do what he said. But I believe here for the very first time they realized how serious it was for them to disobey God. They must have understood that if death is a result of sin, then sin must be the worst thing that they could ever imagine. Sin is the worst thing that they could ever think of. They realized they were sinners and their sins were damnable. Blood had to flow. Something had to die. But there must be something else that also hit them as they look at this lamb. The deep wonder of mercy. The mercy of God must have gripped them. They understood that we were guilty. We must die. But a lamb has died. They felt naked before God. They're exposed by their sin and their shame. And what is God's reaction? God covers them up. God makes them clothing. He clothed them. He took the nakedness away, and he let a substitute pay for their sin. God, in other words, showed them his plan of salvation. The innocent could die for the guilty. Now they were both exposed and they were covered also at the same time. We need to see this is what has been done for us. As believers, this is what has been done for us. In Romans 2:16, it says, all this will become clear on the day when, according to my gospel, God through Jesus Christ will judge men's secrets. In chapter 1 and in chapter 2 of Romans, we see that we will be totally exposed before God, especially on the day of judgment. Especially on that day, we will be completely exposed. Our guilt is there. We can try to deny it, but everything in our lives will refute that denial. There will be no more denying on that day. We show our guilt by hiding from one another, but the gospel tells us that God deals with that guilt. God does not simply just deny or forgive or forget about our guilt. He deals with it in Jesus Christ. He deals with it in Christ. Christ died for the sin. He paid the penalty for the sin, and his penalty of his slaughter, his death, his crucifixion was received as enough, as sufficient. And now God clothes those who have believed in Christ with Christ's righteousness. God covers his children. His elect, you and I, are covered with the skin of a lamb who have already been slaughtered. He covers his children with the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's one thing that we can be sure of. So many things in life that we cannot be sure of. But there is one thing. The day is coming when we will stand before the judgment bar of God, and God will judge even the deepest secrets of our hearts. The question is this: how will you appear before God on that day? How will you manage that day? You can appear in one of two ways. Either we stand before him in the righteousness of Christ that God is providing to us, covered by the skin of the Lamb, or you will stand before God in the horror of your own spiritual and moral nakedness. Many will stand naked before God. Turn with me to Revelations chapter 6. Revelations chapter 6. Look there at verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Here is a description of that day of judgment, where every little secret is open. And that day of judgment is so severe that people look at the mountains and say, cover us up, fall on us. We can't stand this. My brother and sister, are you covered by the skin of the Lamb? Are you covered by the righteousness of Christ? Are you cringing when you think about the day of judgment, or is that a day that you're looking forward to with your advocate standing there, speaking to the Father, look at these marks. This is for Him. I died for Him. We have the responsibility to bring this message to our neighbors, to the people at work and everywhere. Don't wait. Don't wait till that day when your secrets and your sins are exposed. You need to flee to Christ now. You need to be covered by His righteousness now, while the day of salvation is still here. Did you flee to Him, children? This message is just as much, or maybe in some ways more even for you than for the parents. Do not think that the faith of my parents and their Bible reading and their love for Jesus and them bringing me to church will save me. No, you need to be covered by the skin of the Lamb too. You need to be covered by His righteousness too. You need to put your faith and your trust in Jesus, not in the faith of your parents. You need to flee to Him. May all of us be diligent in our self-examination, but when we see our filth and our guilt, may we remember the blessings of the lambskin. May we remember in God's grace and mercy, He chose to cover those who are His with the righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself. Because Christ was victorious on the cross. He was victorious in His death and He was resurrected, and now He is seated at the right hand of His Father, from where He's ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over His whole creation. And when we stand in judgment before the judge, we will be covered by Jesus' robe of righteousness. And all that our God will see is the righteousness in Christ as He covers us. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank You for these verses in Genesis that proclaims the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ so clearly for those who know the gospel. We thank You, Lord, that even in the early verses of Your word, You gave us the proclamation and the wonderful promises of a Savior in Jesus Christ. So we pray, Lord, that as we live thousands of years later, that we will see how many come to this truth. And Lord, be gracious to us that none of us will deny it, but that we will flee to Christ, away from our own nakedness, to be covered by His righteousness. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for a Savior like Jesus Christ. It is in His name we pray. Amen. If you would, please open your hymnal at number 650. Hymn number 650. And let us sing of our Redeemer. I will sing of my Redeemer. Let us stand.